Again, happy Father's Day. Truthfully, I had nothing to do with this whatsoever. Our staff came up with this idea. But dads, I want you to know, we have a small gift for you today. It is a golf ball with an ACAC logo on it, guaranteed for you to drive the ball 300 yards in the middle of the fairway. No legal contract on that. I'm just letting you know, you can pick one up. Also, in the lobby of the hub, you might have seen there's a couple putting greens. And someone donated to the church a Weber grill. So what we thought we would do is for every dad who makes a hole-in-one, you get one shot, a hole-in-one, their name would be entered, and we'll pick the name from that and give that Weber grill. So I will tell you, last night at the Saturday night service, no one made it. It is possible. This morning when I got here about 7:30, I tried. Cindy Harris is the service attendant. She witnessed it. I made it on the first try. So just aim straight at the hole. Just watch. The greens are a little fast. Second thing I want you to know, you're not going to see me for the next two weekends. And the reason is my wife and I are leaving Friday for the country of Turkey. We were invited to go to a field forum for our denomination, the Alliance. And what that is, it's a week-long retreat for our international workers, our missionaries that are serving. They invite pastors to come just to encourage them and pour into them. And so we leave Friday, and we'll be back after that time. It's a privilege to be asked to go, and so we covet your prayers on that trip, but I will see you back in a couple weeks. Stand to your feet this morning. Let's read God's word together. As we've continued to done, we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, and then conclude that with verse 13. Join in with me. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always faithful, and endures through every circumstance. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Lord, we are in a season of weddings where this portion of Scripture will be read a lot. It's very appropriate, because it does apply to the institution of marriage. But in this moment, I pray that our eyes would be open and our hearts would be open to recognize that it goes far beyond the institution of marriage, whether you are married or not, that you have called us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and you have called us to love even our enemies. And so as we look at these descriptive words that the Apostle Paul writes, I pray that not only would our minds be expanded, but more importantly, our hearts would be transformed. And we need your Holy Spirit to do that. We yield to you. Come as only you can. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, when I kicked off this series, I shared with you that for us to properly love people, again, as Jesus called us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love even our enemies. If we are going to love with a biblical love, and there's lots of different kinds of love, but what we're talking about is loving an agape love, a godly love, a biblical love, that for us to do that, we must know and experience God's love for ourselves. That God's love for us fuels our ability to love others, meaning, when Paul writes, love is patient, the only way we can love and truly be patient with others as followers of Jesus is if we have experienced God's patience, right? His love fuels our ability to love others. Pastor Blaine last week talked about how we need to experience God's kindness. And as we know God's kindness and experience God's kindness, it fuels us to demonstrate love to others by being kind to them. Even in that first week, 2 weeks ago, I referenced 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John equates God himself with love when he says God is love. And so what we can do is we look at Paul's description of love, we can put God's name in there, and we can understand and know who God is, that God is patient, God is kind, God is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God does not demand its own way. God is not irritable. God keeps no record of being wronged. God does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. God never gives up. God never loses faith. God is always hopeful, and God endures through every circumstance. Today, we come to the third marker of that love found in the Apostle Paul's writing. Love is not jealous. Now, here's the thing. As we begin, there is an obvious paradox that we have to address before we talk about jealousy in us. Because doesn't the Bible say God is a jealous God? So, if you didn't know that, let me show you. Exodus chapter 34. You must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. The Lord your God is a devouring fire, Deuteronomy says. He is a jealous God. Even if you go to the book of Psalms, they angered God by building shrines to other gods. They made him jealous with their idols. So, if God is love, and love is not jealous, there seems to be a contradiction. What's the problem there? Well, jealousy, as we're going to discover in just a bit, is certainly a sin according to the Bible. I mean, we have all seen the negative effects of jealousy in our own life. You can read the Bible, and there are many tragic events that have happened throughout Scripture that are rooted in jealousy. So if God is a jealous God, then that seems to be quite a problem. In fact, it has been so much of a problem that there have been people that have walked away from the faith, people who do not follow Jesus because they cannot wrestle with the idea of God being a jealous God. One such person is a name that you will know, and her name is Oprah Winfrey. Watch this video.
I happened to be sitting in church in my late 20s, and I was going to this church where you had to get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, or you couldn't get a seat, and a very charismatic minister, and everybody was just, into the sermon. And this great minister was preaching about how great God was and how omniscient and omnipresent and God is everything. And then he said, and the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And I was, caught up in the rapture of that moment until he said jealous. And something struck me, and I was like, I think about 27 or 28. I was thinking, God is all, God is omnipresent, God is all, and God's also jealous, God is jealous of me. And something about that didn't feel right in my spirit.
So my guess is that Oprah's not alone in that. There could be some in this room that you have wrestled with that idea of God being a jealous God, or maybe you're watching online and you're not here today because that's been a stumbling block for you in your faith. So how do we overcome that? How do we reconcile that in Scripture? Well, the first thing we have to do is actually look at that word jealous that is used in Scripture, both as a reference to God's character and in 1 Corinthians 13. So the Greek word for that word jealous is zelos. And what we need to recognize is that in the Greek, when the word zelos is used, there is a negative context to zelos, and there is a positive context to zelos. Zelos is from where we get the English word zeal. Now, we all understand the negative context, and certainly that is true. Paul uses it in the negative sense in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not jealous, meaning that we see something that someone else has and we want it, or there's an anger that stirs up because we become envious of someone else and their position. That, we all understand, is the negative sense. But here is the positive sense. Zelos, or jealousy in the Greek, can also mean to be in the pursuit of good. It can even mean a passionate commitment towards someone or something. Yes, the Bible describes jealousy as sinful and destructive, but it also describes it as one of God's characteristics. And this is not a conflict within the Bible or conflict within itself. It is simply the use of the word in one sense negative and the other sense positive. Let me show you a portion of Scripture from the book of James, where that word zelos or jealousy is used in the same context, one in positive and one in negative. Many of you will be familiar with this verse, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. James writes, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but don't have." Jealousy. "So you kill. You covet." And that word right there is the same connection, zelos, to what Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 13. "You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." James continues to write, look at this, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he," speaking of God, "jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us?" So here in these five verses, we see Scripture both use human jealousy in the negative context. You kill, quarrel, and fight, James says, speaking of human beings. But then he also speaks of a divine jealousy. He, God, jealously longs for the Spirit within us. So when we're talking about human jealousy, selfish ambition says, "I want what I want to have." Human jealousy says, "I want what you have." However, divine jealousy is God desiring us and passionately wanting good on our behalf. He wants us to want him more than anything or anyone else, and God is completely committed to us. So while we're off wanting more stuff, God is off wanting us in relationship with us. You see, all of the references to God being jealous in the Bible, those verses that I just shared with you where it said God is jealous or a jealous God, they come in the context of a covenant that he made with the people of Israel, his people. And they would break that covenant time and time again throughout the Old Testament by putting idols, putting things in their life above God. Now for us, if you were gonna use a metaphor in the 21st century for covenant, I would use the institution of marriage. You see, for followers of Jesus, as believers, when we get married, we aren't just making a commitment to our spouse. We are making a covenant before God, and there is a difference. So in my relationship with my wife, there is a positive jealousy that I have with her and she has with me. She doesn't want any person or anything, whether that be a job or whether that be a hobby, to come over her. You with me on that? You know what I'm saying? And your spouse doesn't want anything or any person to be more important in your marriage, to those of you that are married, than your spouse. And so there is a healthy jealousy in the relationship that is for the good of the relationship. You see, for us, when we make other things or other people a priority over God, it's called idolatry, and to God, it's adultery. God has wrapped his heart around us, and we are his covenant people. So when we pull away and we make other things a priority to him, it's similar to a divine divorce. We are being unfaithful to God. So what I would say to Oprah, or what I would say to anyone else who struggles with the idea of God being a jealous God, is that God is not jealous of you, he's jealous for you. And there's a difference. So when we talk about human jealousy now, we understand that we can be jealous people. We get angry because we're not getting what we want. And sometimes it's a matter of someone else having something that we want. I mean, this is pretty rudimentary, but we see it from possessions. You see somebody driving a car that's nicer than yours, and you're like, I wish I had that car. Or maybe you see someone that has a home that you would like instead of the one you have, or someone has a job that you wish you have. But we also can be jealous about influence. How many times have we seen someone that has a greater influence than we do, and we become envious? Sometimes we can become jealous in relationships, where we want to have a deep friendship with a particular person, and then we see them become close to another person, and we go, well, why do they get to be close to that person? Why did they take them out to dinner and not me? Why can't I have coffee? Why aren't they being open and sharing with me? We can be jealous in relationships. We can also be jealous in health and God's blessing, where we see others maybe prosper and see God's hand of blessing on them. And God, why aren't you blessing me that way? And by the way, Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and social media, all it does is fuel that and feed into that. Because we see what other people have and we go, well, I want that life. It's jealousy. It's envy. We even see it in the Bible. There are plenty of examples. Cain killed his brother Abel out of jealousy. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers out of jealousy. But sometimes jealousy can also be losing what we had to another person. Maybe we're demoted and someone else is elevated. Maybe we're passed over for a promotion or a position. Maybe there's a missed opportunity. We see this in the Bible as well. Remember King Saul, how he reacted when David beat Goliath? David started seeing some victories in his life. He wasn't king yet. Saul was still king, but God had removed his hand. David beats Goliath. And you remember the song the people would sing about David and Saul? They would say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. It's like being the backup quarterback in Pittsburgh. You're the most popular guy. And there was jealousy from King Saul looking at David. Understand that jealousy and envy can prove to be one of the most damaging sins. Why? Because jealousy will fuel other sins. Jealousy will make stealing seem defensible. Jealousy can make gossip or slander seem excusable. Jealousy can make adultery seem reasonable. Jealousy can make murder seem justifiable. The wisdom writer even says this as much. He writes, anger is cruel and wrath is like a flood, but jealousy is even more dangerous. Proverbs 27:4. Jealousy can fuel other sin in our life. And the apostle Paul knows this and is warning his church about this and says, love is not jealous. See, jealousy was a problem within the church in Corinth. I gave you the context. The apostle Paul had planted this church in the city of Corinth, and he had been there for a year and a half, and then he leaves to go on another journey to plant other churches. And after he leaves, he hears that this church that he spent a year and a half with and planted, they're being divided, and they're arguing, and there's fighting within the church. And part of that fighting was over jealousy. There was envy within the church. He talks about there were those who saw that had other gifts. Some that were better speakers, some that had the gift of tongues, some that had the gift of prophecy, some that were filled with wisdom. And people weren't appreciating or being content with their own gifts, but they were jealous of the other gifts within the church. And it's in that context that he writes this description about love is not jealous. Truth be told, some Christians still manifest that same spirit of jealousy in the church today. Truth be told, some Christians still manifest that same jealousy in the church today. I know, not here at ACAC. Those other churches right now in Pittsburgh. I'm joking. I wish I could say that's the truth. But we get really quiet because we know what happens in the body of Christ. When we see, well, why did that person get elected to be an elder? Why did that person get selected to teach a life group? Why did that person get selected to teach? And why not me? Don't get me started on the worship ministry. Well, why did that person get to hold a microphone? Well, how come I can't sing a solo? Why do they get to sing at Christmas and I don't get to sing at Christmas? I'm touching home now, huh? Sometimes we get jealous of spiritual gifts where there are those that are filled with wisdom and knowledge. Sometimes even the church of Jesus Christ will be jealous of itself. God help us if we look at other cities in the church or churches in the city and go, well, why isn't ACAC blessed like them? There is one church And we need to be content with the gifts and the calling that God has put on all of us. All of this is not a demonstration of love. In fact, when there is that spirit of jealousy and envy, here's what happens. When we are paying attention to the gifts and the blessing God had put on others, that means we're not using the calling and gifts God has put in us to serve one another and to build his kingdom. It's a distraction of the enemy. Instead, our hearts are filled with jealousy and envy. When we see someone that's more popular, more beautiful, or more talented, love calls us to be glad for them. Love calls us to support them. Love calls us to say, I am so thrilled that they got a microphone. I'm so thrilled that they got that solo. Look at how God is using them to bless the church. You see, when there is love, followers of Jesus will gladly use whatever gifts they have been given to work as one body with multiple members to advance God's kingdom and to serve one another. I believe that the Apostle Paul understood this because he experienced the power of jealousy and envy in his own life. Let me take you to another book that he wrote, the book of Philippians. At that time, the Apostle Paul was in a prison cell in the city of Rome, and he's writing a letter to a church in the city of Philippi. And the context of that letter of Philippians, Paul's in prison, and he tells us that there were young preachers that were jealous and envious of the Apostle Paul's ministry. And so they begin preaching not out of pure motives. They were preaching because they wanted to become more influential and more well-known than the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is in prison. In fact, it goes on to say that they wanted to pour salt on the wound, and they started criticizing Paul while he's in jail. And then look what Paul writes in Philippians 1, verse 15. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. Paul says, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. Paul in prison, seeing other preachers become more popular, become more famous, out of wrong motive, out of jealousy, he doesn't resent their freedom. He doesn't resent their success. And he doesn't return jealousy for jealousy or envy for envy. Rather, he demonstrates great love by rejoicing in them that the gospel is being preached. Paul understood that the message is more important than the messenger, even though their motives were wrong. You see, love is willing to sacrifice for the sake of another's gain. And that is how we should respond when jealousy creeps into our heart. Love is content in Christ. And as we understand and experience God's zeal towards us, God's jealousy towards us, that he wants the best for us, knowing that if we put him first, he will take care of us. It should call us to recognize that sometimes God withholds what we desire to give us what we need. Have you ever stopped to pause and think that maybe that thing you want, that thing you've been praying for, God hasn't given it to you because he knows you need something else right now? Maybe he knows that you can't handle the financial prosperity that you're praying for. Be faithful with little, be faithful with much. Maybe he knows that you can't handle that promotion at the moment. Or maybe you are in a season where God is preparing you for where he wants to take you. God often gives us what we need, not what we want. Jealousy is not consistent with love. Jealousy would rather prosper at the expense of someone else. Jealousy says, I want to see that person knocked down and me elevated. Love is the opposite. You see, the gospel of Jesus is the supreme example of love in contrast to jealousy. God made the ultimate sacrifice in the death of his son to bring about our salvation. Jesus sacrificed himself for our salvation, paying the ultimate price, his own blood. If this kind of sacrifice was required to bring our salvation, how can we be jealous of God's blessing on someone else? In that same letter that he wrote from a prison cell to the church in Philippi, the Apostle Paul writes, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Love is not jealous. Love is content in Christ. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Heavenly Father, that church in Corinth is not an anomaly. ACAC is not exempt from jealousy and the division that church experienced. So we recognize today that these words that were written thousands of years ago are relevant to us today. Because all of us, at one point or another, have experienced jealousy and envy. We've seen others have things that we desire. We have seen others be promoted, and we have questioned, Lord, why are you blessing them and not me? Why don't I have that? Holy Spirit, convict us. I pray if there is any seed of jealousy or envy in our heart right now, that your Spirit would convict us and we would lay it at your feet, recognizing that jealousy fuels other sin. You have called us to be holy. You have called us to be righteous. And God, I also pray that we would understand your jealousy towards us. Not of us, but for us. And so right now, if there is anything that we have put as a priority over our relationship with you, Word of God, speak to us. If we have put our jobs, if we have put relationships, if we have put hobbies, if we have put opinions and perspectives, whatever it may be, Lord, we don't want to have idolatry in our life. We don't want to be an adulterous people to you. We understand your zeal. And Lord, out of that, we want to love others by being content in Christ. Spirit of God, help us. In the name of Jesus, amen. I would like to invite our prayer team, any elders that are here and staff pastors, if you would just quickly come your way to the front. As always, we would love to pray with you today. I know it's Father's Day, but if there's healing in your body that you need, if you're discouraged, if there's someone in your life that we can pray for, take a few moments and let us pray with you. We'd be honored to do that. God bless you. Have a great Father's Day weekend.